The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. This is today's special you're listening to. We're going to speak about Imam Ali alayhi salam, the herald of unity. Today, Wednesday, is the 17th of Zulhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We choose for you a part of chapter Ma'idah, that is chapter 3 of the Holy Quran. Verse 3.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Al-yawma ya'isa alladhina kafaru min dinikum fala takhshawhum wakhshawun. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا فمن اضطر في مخمصة غير متجانف لإثم فإن الله غفور رحيم.
This day those who disbelieve have despaired of defeating your religion. So fear them not, but fear me. This day I have perfected for you your religion, and completed my favor upon you, and have approved for you Islam as religion. But whoever is forced by severe hunger with no inclination to sin, then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Which day is the day of perfection of religion? The answer to the first question is the day of Qadir Khum. This fact has been cited by Shia commentators in their books, in the case that many traditions refer to by the scholars of both great sects. That day was the day when Prophet of Islam formally assigned Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, as his successor. It was on that day that Islam reached its final perfection and pagans sank deep inside the waves of their despair. They expected Islam to be subsistent in person, and by diminishing the Prophet, the circumstances would change to the former state so that Islam could gradually vanish.
أسعد حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا رغي.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the herald of unity, the ideal community. For Imam Ali, the ideal world which he wished human beings to reach by clinging to the real Islam is the angelic world. Imam Ali has described the people of that world as follows. They did not differ among themselves about their sustainer as a result of Satan's control over them. The vice of separation from one another did not disperse them. Rancor and mutual malice did not overpower them. Ways of waving did not divide them. Differences of degree of college did not render them into divisions. In fact, all human beings will be like angels, even superior to them, if they pay attention to the main goal of creation, which is the proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and achieving happiness in all aspects of life. And they know that they would attain their goal only through obeying Allah's commands, cleaning the vices and decorating their hearts with virtues and acting upon them.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astaheem. In this episode, we are going to talk about Imam Ali alayhi salam as the exemplary personality of the Islamic unity and integration in the Muslim world. Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was really the bravest man in his time, never fought those people who were selected as caliphs. It doesn't mean that Imam Ali alayhi salam agreed with that kind of decision. Rather, Imam Ali alayhi salam saw that the greater priority, the most important aspect, lies in the political integrity and homogeneity of the Muslim world. So that we find that, I mean, at that time, Imam Ali alayhi salam never said anything, never took any active political decision against the ruling caliphs. Yet, Imam Ali alayhi salam helped those ruling caliphs or whatever they appealed to him for help. I mean, they realized that, I mean, they themselves, I mean, the caliphs, I mean, those, the people who were in, I mean, who were ruling over there at that time, realized that Imam Ali alayhi salam was certainly the most deserving personality. However, the love of and the lust for political power pushed him ahead to take such an unhappy decision, and they wronged Imam Ali alayhi salam in this regard. Yet Imam Ali alayhi salam was such a personality who favored the divine agreement and the divine decision over his own personal priorities. Because of this, we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, when the ruling caliphs appealed to him for the sake of receiving his wise consultations, Imam Ali alayhi salam helped them.
اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا.
This day, I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have chosen for you Islam as your religion.
الله مولاي وأنا مولى المؤمنين أنا من كنت مولاه فهذا علي مولاه اللهم وال من والاه وعاد من عاداه أيها الناس الحق دائما مع علي وعلي مع الحق.
Imam Ali's position on division and its roots, world lines. Dunya, or world, in Islamic sciences and in the statements of religious leaders, is sometimes praised and sometimes criticized. Imam Ali described the world as follows. This world is the place for which destruction is ordained, and for its inhabitants' departure from here is distant. It is sweet and green. It hastens towards its seeker and attaches to the heart of the viewer. So depart from here with the best of provision available to you, and do not ask herein more than what is enough, and do not demand for it more than sustenance. Imam Ali pointed out the feature of the world and wanted people against being attached to it. I warn you of the world, for it is the abode of the unsteady. It has decorated itself with deception and decisive with its decoration.
Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'alana min al-mutamassikin
bi wilayati
Ali ibn Abi Talib والأئمة المعصومين عليهم السلام.
You're following IRIB English Radio, and today's special. We have a short part about policy-making features in the mannerism of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Even with the enemies, he would speak with logic. One of the characteristics of the political behavior of the commander of the faithful Imam Ali alayhi salam was that he spoke with reason to his enemies and opponents. He even used to reason with Muawiyah during his correspondence with him. After Talha and Zubair pledged allegiance to Imam Ali, they went toward Mecca with the excuse that they intended to go on a Hajj pilgrimage. Imam Ali alayhi salam was vigilant from the beginning. He used to say that they do not intend to go on a Hajj pilgrimage. They left and hatched certain plots. Imam alayhi salam said, both of you frowned over small matters and leave aside big ones. He said that they use insignificant matters as tools for creating discord. Despite these things, the commander of the faithful spoke in a humble manner to them. He explained that he was not about creating enemies for himself, so he showed tolerance.
You know, brothers and sisters, what is amazing about Ali ibn Abi Talib is that he possessed antithetical qualities. Qualities that almost seem to be contradictory. You know, if you think of someone who's extremely brave and courageous and fearless, when you think about a warrior, what's the first thing that comes to mind? You know, usually when someone exhibits the quality of shaja'a, bravery, courage, fearlessness, chances are such a person is not going to be very gentle and merciful. What typically happens in human beings is that when one quality is intensified, other qualities are compromised. And conversely, usually when you see someone who's very compassionate, very gentle, very merciful, chances are they're probably not going to be the most fearless or the most brave. Generally, when one quality increases, it's almost like they're inversely proportionate. When courage increases, mercy and compassion decreases. But with Amir al-Mu'mineen, all of these areas. You know, that's why the poet describes Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says, هُوَ الْبَكَّاءُ فِي الْمِحْرَابِ لَيْلًا. That Ali ibn Abi Talib, he is the one at night, he's crying in his mihrab. هُوَ الْبَكَّاءُ فِي الْمِحْرَابِ لَيْلًا. But in the battlefield, he's smiling. No one was able to shake Ali ibn Abi Talib. He was unshakable.
Thank you very much for joining us till this part, the end part of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We'll leave you in God Almighty's mercy. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and since we're on the threshold of the auspicious occasion of Eid al-Qadir, the day God finalized the issue of succession to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, here is some food for thought from his divinely appointed vicegerent, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Unfortunate is he who cannot gain a few sincere friends during his lifetime. And more unfortunate is the one who has gained them and then lost them through his deeds.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. What gives man worth? It's a question that we all should ask ourselves. If it is not our physical body, it is not the so-called beauty that we have, because this all gets lost. You know, our physical strength, we become weak. You know, the beauty that we think we may have, you know, it loses its worth. It's changing. You know, beauty changes. What is seen as beauty also changes. So what is real beauty? What is real worth? Imam Ali alayhi salam, in a very beautiful tradition, explains that how can you measure the worth of a man or a human being or of a person? It's a very beautiful tradition, and the Imam mentions that, you know, it is according to two small things. And really, there are two small things if you had to measure it in terms of its physical size, but in terms of what it can do, it can destroy the world, both of these things, or it can bring the entire world together again. And we have seen it done in history. So the Imam alayhi salam says that man's worth is measured according to his two little organs, or these two small insignificant organs in terms of size. But the Imam is not talking about the physical organ itself. He's rather talking about the particular actions that are done with these two organs. The first is the heart, and the second is the tongue. The heart is there for understanding, for bravery, for firmness, conviction. Again, this is not the physical heart, obviously. The heart here means that, you know, the essence and the soul of a human being. But the heart represents that. It is the center of everything. Another is the tongue. You know, as we said, the tongue can destroy worlds by means of a person saying something silly, and then, you know, people taking it the wrong way, you know, and so on and so forth. So here the Imam continues and says that man's worth is measured according to his two little organs, his heart and his tongue. So that when he fights, or when he, you know, gets into an argument and so on and so forth, he should do it with a firm heart, with a brave heart, with a heart that is steadfast and convinced that he is on the truth. Right? This is the first one. And when he speaks, he should do so with eloquence. Eloquence does not mean you use big, beautiful words, no. You speak with proof. You speak with what is known as burhan. Right? You speak in a way in which the knowledge that you have is produced in a way that, you know, it cannot be critiqued. It cannot be kind of pushed to the side. People say, no, this person has something profound in him. And you can see that this worth of the person is in this, the steadfastness, the conviction and the knowledge that he has. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that heart full of conviction and a tongue that speaks beauty, eloquence and truth. InshaAllah, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. This program is coming to you in the holy month of Ramadan, the spring of the Holy Quran. I'm your host, Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu Alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, to you who are listening to Let's Recite the Quran. I'd like to congratulate all Muslims around the whole world on the arrival of the blessed month of Ramadan, the month in which the Holy Quran was revealed.
Ramadan siyam wa du'a. رمضان أمان وصفاء رمضان صيام ودعاء رمضان أمان وصفاء رمضان سلوك وعطاء أهلا بقدومك يا رمضان.
رمضان كريم 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 شهر رمضان كريم 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 شهر عظيم 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 قم للعبادة تلقى السعادة قم للعبادة تلقى السعادة تلقى السعادة تلقى النعيم.
In the blessed month of Ramadan, the noble Quran was revealed. And that is why it is called the spring of the Holy Quran. And you know, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, almost all Muslims try to recite the Holy Quran completely at least once throughout this blessed month. So it's a common custom to recite one juz each day. And I'm sure that you know that the Noble Quran is a divided 30 parts called juz, which literally means part.
تلاوة
تلاوة وقيام.
As today is the first day of the blessed month of Ramadan, most Muslims recite the first juz of the Noble Quran. Juz 1 consists of Surah Al-Fatiha, which has 7 verses, and it has got some other names, such as Ummul Kitab, which means the mother of the book, or Ummul Quran, which means the mother of the Quran, or Sab'ul Mathani, and some other names. After this holy surah, we have the second surah of the Holy Quran, which is Surah Al-Baqarah, and up to the end of verse 141 belongs to Juz 1 of the Noble Quran. And you know that Surah Al-Baqarah consists of 286 verses, and it was revealed in Medina.
Okay, Brother Mahdi, you just talked about the first surah of the Holy Quran. Reciting this surah has a lot of reward,
mm-hmm.
not just for the person who recites the surah. You could also, you know, send the reward of this surah to another person, such as a person who has died. We mm-hmm. usually do this. We recite Surah Al-Fatiha near the grave of someone who has died. Just like you said, this surah is Sab'ul Mathani. This surah has 7 verses. And in most Qurans, you'll see that the Bismillah has 1 written after it, which means it's the first verse. And so Bismillah is part of the surah. Of course, this does not mean that the Bismillah of other surahs are not part of the surah, okay? Because Shias and even most Sunnis believe that Bismillah of each surah, not just Surah Al-Fatiha, they are part of that surah.
And it's interesting that this beneficial surah is memorized by almost all Muslims, because we are supposed to recite this holy surah twice in each prayer. Now, dear audience, let's listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Hamd, which belongs to Juz 1 of the Noble Quran, recited by Muhammad Siddiq Al-Minshawi. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the Absolutely Merciful, the Especially Merciful. All praises and thanks are for Allah, the Lord of all that exists. The Absolutely Merciful, the Especially Merciful, owner of the Day of Recompense. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we ask for help. Guide us to the straight way, the way of those on whom you have bestowed your grace, not of those who have earned your anger, nor of those who went astray.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
كتاب الله
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Al-Hamd by Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq Al-Minshawi. And as this holy surah is to be recited in every prayer, observing tajweed points of this surah is of high significance. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about the tajweed points of this holy surah.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, reciters of the Qur'an, the famous ones, whenever they recite the Qur'an in the murattal style or tartil, they have to make sure that they observe the rules of tajweed with greater care, because it's not a live recitation. In their live recitations, they might not observe the rules of tajweed like they do when they recite the Quran in the studio and also in the murattal style. Because, you know, the murattal style of recitation is also a reference for reciters who want to learn the Quran, who want to memorize the Quran. So the reciter has to have really good tajweed so that those who listen to this recitation are able to learn the rules of tajweed through that reciter's recitation. Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi, he observes the rules of tajweed very precisely and carefully. The makharij of the huruf, the articulation points or the places of articulations of the letters, they are observed with utmost care by Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi. Alhamdu, the ha. Alameen, al-alameen, the ayn. And na'budu, the ayn again. Ihdina sirata, the sod, and also the ta. In our prayer, we have to recite both the Hamd and the Surah with good tajweed. Even though, okay, it might not be perfect, because Allah said, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. If they're able to learn the rules of tajweed, up to the point they're able to learn the rules of tajweed, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
But they should not, you know, neglect learning the rules of tajweed and say, okay, I have memorized this surah, why should I learn rules of tajweed? If you're able to learn the rules of tajweed, you have to learn them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know the places of articulation, the correct way of pronouncing the letters, the mad, madul lazim. Some people who pray, they don't lengthen the madul lazim enough. It's six vowel counts, not four.
That is in walallah.
Yeah, the last part, the last verse. Walallah. And, for example, al-maghdubi. You shouldn't say al-maghdubi. Okay,
ghain.
Some, it's a ghain. It's different. The has, the ains. These are simple rules of tajweed, and everyone should learn.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the makharij wal-huruf, the places of articulation of letters.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, the audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Don't forget to pray for us on the blessed days of the month of Ramadan.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقام اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعام
Brothers and sisters, up to now, this glorious supplication has talked about two different kinds of sins. At first, the supplicant said, Allahumma ghafir li al-dhunub allati tahtiku al-isam. O Allah, forgive me those sins which tear apart the safeguards. Then the supplicant said, Allahumma ghafir li al-dhunub allati tunzilu al-niqam. O Allah, forgive me for the sins which bring down adversities. After this dua, the supplicant says, Allahumma ghafir li al-dhunub allati tughayyiru al-ni'am. Another kind of the sins is this. O Allah, forgive me the sins which alter the blessings. So, based on what this phrase suggests, there are some sins committing which will alter Almighty Allah's blessings for human beings, and this will actually replace them with calamities and adversities. When we have a look at the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we see that these sins, as stated by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, are oppressing people, losing good habits, abandoning good deed, being ungrateful, and abandoning gratefulness. In this program, we'll try to talk about some of them. So, oppressing people is an atrocious and satanic sin. Oppression, even as much as a grain, is an obscene deed. Be it as little as the grain, this deed would be punished in hereafter too. As the Holy Quran says, وَإِن كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا And if there be no more than the weight of a mustard seed, we will bring it to account. وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ And enough we are to take account. And by doing so, people will lose their blessings and will see calamities replacing them. The good habits that human beings are inclined to, of course, are the Almighty Allah's blessings. They are really important and valuable, and those habits make humans subjected to Almighty Allah's mercy. Humans should be really careful and should guard these good habits. After attaining the good habits like gaining knowledge or showing humility and having patience or serving Almighty Allah's servants and so on, mankind is always subject to dangers, so he should attempt to maintain his good habits. It's not the case of doing these good things once, it's the matter of habit. And if a human is careless about maintaining his good habits, to the extent that they are lost, he has then committed a sin. So he should surely expect the alteration of Almighty Allah's blessings in his life. And yet this is different from abandoning good deeds.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins which tear away my safeguards. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which descend misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope. Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have earned. Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf. And I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
Beneficence and doing good to the people are signs of humanity and belief. According to Quranic verses, the good doers are loved by the Almighty. Wallahu yuhibbu al-muhsinin. Allah loves those who do good. So people should not abandon their beneficence towards each other in any situation. So abandoning good deeds is different from losing the good habits. They are both the kinds of sins that alter and change the blessings of the Almighty Allah into calamities. They both make Almighty Allah content, and their reward is great. So what we need to know is that abandoning beneficence is a sin itself, and it results in deprivation from good manners and etiquettes. And not just that, but it also deprives the human beings from Almighty Allah's special mercy and countless rewards. Now, in these few seconds left, let's talk about ungratefulness as another sin that changes the blessings into calamities. Being ungrateful is a sin, specifically being ungrateful towards the Almighty Allah. This will bring down a severe chastisement. The holy verse of the Quran says, وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. But if you are thankless, my chastisement is surely terrible. The worst kind of ungratefulness is wasting Almighty Allah's blessings for committing sins and unsuitable wishes. We will, inshallah, talk about the other sin in the next program. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us.
If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The life and personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Month of Walaya from IRIB English Radio. Sayyid Ali Al Musavi Al Jazairi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salla ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters, I hope that you are doing well and you are keeping well. Ana wa Aliyun Aba wa hadhihi al ummah. Ali and I are the parents of this nation, the Holy Messenger of God said. In our previous programs, we tried to discover the secret behind the position of the divine authority and wilayah, and we mentioned the two fundamental elements of love and knowledge as this secret, the very elements that causes the father and mother, the parents, to deserve the position and right of the authority and wilayah over their children. The first and the most manifest instance of the knowledge and love is the infinite existence of God Himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of all knowledge and love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of knowledge and love. As you remember, brothers and sisters, I said that the meaning of the sincere and pure love is that you want someone only for the sake of themselves and not for any other reason. You love them even if they are indifferent to you and even if they hate you. In a Qudsi hadith, a hadith in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the first person, but this statement is not considered as a part of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ عَلِمَ الْمُدْبِرُونَ عَنِّي كَيْفَ اشْتِيَاقِي بِهِمْ لَمَاتُوا شَوْقًا. If those who have turned away from me, if those who have fled from me knew how badly I miss them, how badly I wait for them to return back to me, their soul would leave their body for joy. We all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all sufficient and He is the richest of the rich, and He doesn't have the slightest need to His creatures and worshippers. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. The Holy Quran says, indeed Allah has no need of the creatures. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon us, when He invites us, actually He wants us only for the sake of ourselves and not to take personal benefits out of us. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, in the sixth ayah, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expounds some of His rules and regulations with regards to wudu and ghusl and tayammum, immediately in the same ayah He says, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُم مِّنْ حَرَجٍ. I know that observing and fulfilling these detailed rules and regulations may seem difficult at the first look, but be aware about this fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't intend to put you in hardship and difficult situation through this legislation. وَلَكِنْ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَهِرَكُمْ وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. But he intends to purify you and to complete his blessings upon you. In Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O you who have faith, answer the call of Allah and His Messenger when they invite you, when they call you to what brings you life. Despite the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-sufficient and He doesn't have the slightest need to His worshippers, when He wants to motivate us to help each other by lending money to each other, He puts Himself in the position of need. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهُ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Who lends Allah a good loan? You know that in the process of lending some money, a material advantage reaches the receiver of the money because he will be able to resolve his problem. And both a material and a spiritual advantage reaches the lender of the money because he will receive his spiritual reward from God, beside the fact that his money that he is lending will be multiplied because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who promises in the same ayah, فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. I will multiply your money that you are lending many times. So in the process of this lending, nothing reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But due to His infinite love and mercy and compassion towards us, He puts Himself in the position of the need. God's infinite love and mercy is not only directed at the human beings and His worshippers, but rather is directed at all things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-A'raf, رَحْمَتِي وَسَعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy and love embraces all things. The Messenger of God, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, this general and public mercy and love of God is only one portion out of 100 portions of His mercy. So 99 portions of His love and mercy is His special and particular love that He has saved, and He will show them to His special and particular friends and worshippers in the Day of Judgment. I will speak more about God's mercy and love and about His spectacular relation with us, inshallah, in the next program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mesmerizing hot air balloon festival has got on the way in the U.S. state of New Jersey. The sky was littered with nearly 100 beautifully colored hot air balloons in different shapes, captivating every viewer. The awe-inspiring event brought together COVID-wary citizens to experience joy and jubilation amid health restrictions.